Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise. Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Beer Nuts, episode number 128. We have got a full house tonight with 8 Beer Nuts. So tonight's episode will be the Cellar Raid. We haven't done a Cellar Raid in a while, and I just relocated from Michigan to Arizona and brought as much of my cellar as I could, so I'm excited for the beer I picked out, and I think everybody else has some great beer. So let's go from east to west. We'll introduce ourselves, starting with Uncle Pete.
Hey, everybody. Uncle Pete here in Rockwood, Michigan. My last untapped check-in was a double IPA at Canton Brew Works called 7,000 Steps to High Hrothgar.
All right, let's go to Clausen to Dugout.
All right, this is Dugout in Clausen. We've already established that, but my last untapped check-in was American Harvest Pale Ale from the American Harvest Brew Pub, which was JR's going-away party at the school he taught at. So, Schoolcraft College. It was a really good beer. I think that was the best beer I had all night.
Awesome. Yeah, I got a couple of those in my cellar.
All right, we're going to move to Greg.
Hey, everybody. Greg over here in Dearborn, Michigan. And my last untapped check-in was from Sheboygan Brewing Company, their chocolate-covered cherry stout, which I had on tap tonight at Elmhurst Tap Room here in Dearborn.
Nummy, nummy.
Mm-hmm. All right. David, you're next.
This is Dave Miller High Life. And my last untapped check-in was at the Witch's Hat Brewery. And I had the Edwards Portly Brown.
Ooh.
Good stuff.
All right. On to the Midwest, we go to Dan.
Hey, guys. This is Dan in Springfield, Missouri. My last untapped check-in was a 2019 Sakaba from Firestone, or Succuba, or whatever you want to pronounce that as.
All right, well, that brings it to me now in Sierra Vista, Arizona. And my last check-in, even though I know I probably had a beer since then, but it was Toppling Goliath Sosis 2018 Double India Pale Ale, courtesy of one Dan Geist. Very fortunate to have met up with him in person on my way out. So thank you for that. And yeah. To LA to Steve next.
Hi, Stevie from LA. My last on tap was a red ale from Brewery Omegang, the Rare Boss.
Steve, you with us?
Yes. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Are you with us?
I heard him.
Yeah, we all hear him.
Go ahead, JR, next.
I already went. Could you guys not hear me?
We heard you, and then we heard Steve, so next.
Oh, I didn't hear Steve. I don't know what happened.
Really good.
Eric up in Washington in the great Pacific Northwest.
Unmute.
Eric, you with me? Hey, I'm not hearing anything. Is he on?
I don't hear him.
Eric, you there?
He's unmuted. Nope, now Eric, he's muted. Now he's unmuted. Okay. Eric, introduce yourself and let us know what you've been drinking lately. He must have walked away.
Oh, jeez. Well, I don't know what... Eric?
He just muted. Now he's going to...
Might be having mic problems.
Maybe. All right, Eric,
well,
you back?
Let's...
Eric, you might need to drop and re-add yourself. Yeah, okay. Where'd you go, JR?
Did JR leave, too?
All those West Coasters. Jeez.
We seem to be experimenting some technological differences.
Let's compare notes. All right, Eric, introduce yourself and what you've been drinking.
Eric, can you hear us?
All right.
Did you hear him? I can't hear him.
I can't hear him. Nobody can hear him.
All right, let's just keep moving on then. If he pops in, we'll introduce him at that time. All right, okay. Well, we're having a little bit of difficulties. We're also supposed to have Eric from the Pacific Northwest on, but we're having some technical difficulties. We'll pipe him in later if he shows up. So let's move on over to who had that? It was him that had the quote, right?
Yeah,
he can do his quote. Off right here.
Okay. Who wants to give us the quote then?
We're going back to it right here. This is Eric, courtesy of our mystery nut, Eric. It says, beer makes you happy. Happy people live longer. Therefore, beer makes you live longer.
Amen.
You're here.
you can hear us, too. Okay.
Eric said he can hear us. He just, no one can hear him.
I'm going to tell him he should just unhook and then rejoin. Eric, just disconnect and rejoin.
I just heard him.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
All right.
JR, did you have him when you were on your phone when you switched
to your left?
I don't know. Did I get lucky this time?
Yep. Is that you, Eric?
I don't know. It depends. Can you hear? This is Eric. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, I can hear loud and clear. All right. I heard your beer quote, though. Nobody else did?
That was Dan.
Somebody else
read it. Okay. All right.
Eric.
I haven't moved the whole time, and it was working before and then not working when it was my turn. I don't know why.
Okay. Let's just rewind. And Eric, you're going to start with where you're at and your last untapped check-in. And JR is going to ask you for the beer quote, and we're going to go from there.
Okay.
All right. If you can still hear me, this is Eric from Longview, Washington. And I guess I was 1 foot too far away from my router or something. I don't know. But my last untapped check-in was 7th anniversary ale, the Shepherdess from Ladyface Ale House that one of our fellow shelf beer traders gave me this weekend. It was great.
Awesome. All right. Well, even though we've retired quotes, you actually found a good one that we hadn't had before. So why don't you throw out your quote, Eric?
You bet. The quote that I found while we were digging in the cellar was, beer makes you happy, and happy people live longer. Therefore, beer makes you live longer. So here's to a long and happy life.
Cheers to that.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Well, everybody's thirsty, and we got lots of people, so let's keep things moving. As we always do, we want to invite all our listeners, please enjoy a beer with us. We're not pretentious. We just want to introduce more good people to more good beer, and we got a lot of good beers tonight to introduce you to. So let's get the ball rolling with Uncle Pete first. We're going to go east to west. All yours, Pete.
All right. I get to drink beer first, yes.
Well, we all have to wait.
So, no, go ahead and start. But I've got I rated my cellar, and I've got a 2015 Bell's Imperial Stout. It's their 30th anniversary celebration stout. And I'm going to pour this up. And it's as black as molasses with a beautiful brown foamy head on it. And there's no way I'm going to see any light through that, even if I held it up to the sun. And let's give it a smell. Oh, it smells of chocolate and dark fruit. Oh, wow. Man, boy, that is a sweet treat right there. This is a high alcohol, a high gravity. It was 11% ABV. Original gravity was 1.120. Boy, this is really, really chocolatey and roasted. Really dark and roasty. I got more of the dark fruits on the aroma than I'm getting into the flavors. But man, that's very oily and dark chocolate and roasted. It's fantastic. Not really picking up on the hops. It's bitter on its own, I think. But they say there's Polaris hops in there, and I'm not real familiar with Polaris hops. But it says this beer will cellar for years to come, basically unlimited shelf life if you take care of it the right way. So kudos to Bell's. I know their third decade came and went in 2015. That's already 4 years ago. But I'm glad I held on to this one, and I'm glad I'm drinking it tonight. So cheers, and glad to get this thing kicked off on the Cellar Raid episode.
Nice. Cheers.
All right, who's up next?
Well, that's a great beer to start with. Let's move over to Dugout, see what he's got in store.
All right. Well, I'm not going to stray far as breweries go, because I have Bell's also, and I still have some of those 30ths in the cellar, and glad to hear they're holding up really well. I think I'm going to hang on to the few remaining for a little while. What I have tonight is a Bell's Black Note Stout from 2017. Black Note is a blend of Bell's Expedition Stout and Bell's Double Cream Stout, and then it's aged in bourbon barrels.
Yummy.
Yeah. I don't have the exact type of barrel that they use. Alcohol by volume is 11.2, so it's got some... It's got some balls to it. Original gravity is 1.112 and shelf life unlimited. Anybody curious about nutritional information per 12-ounce serving?
Wow, that's on there or no way?
Yeah, yeah. The calories, 354 and carbs, 32.
Whoa.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it's got some calories and carbs. So,
light beer after that.
All right. So, as the name might suggest, it pours a extremely dark, cannot see through it, no light penetrates, motor oil-ish sort of look to it. It's got just some lowish carbonation, which was what you'd expect out of a beer with this high ABV, but you know, just a nice, really dark brown head to it. Nose, you just get some, a little bit of the bourbon barrel. I mean, that's still there. You get some dark fruit and definitely get some kind of dark roasted malt. And the first sip, you know, unfortunately, I'm getting a little oxidation on the first sip. So I get a little bit of cardboard in there, but it's quickly overtaken by a lot of jammy fruit and just this intense dark malt explosion, a little bourbon barrel mixed in there. So even though it might be oxidized a little bit, it's not definitely not taken away from the finish at all. And otherwise, it's just 100% outstanding beer. It's got a great mouthfeel to it. It's a little, still has a little bit of sweetness from the double cream stout. I do believe I have one more of these, so, and that one's True Cellar. This one's been sitting in the fridge for a while. I don't know if that's going to make a difference in sampling them out, but, I mean, overall, outstanding beer.
You got good carbonation, Doug?
Yeah, carbonation's right there. I mean, it's exactly what it should be for this beer. You don't want something that's fizzy and over-carbed. It's got carbonation to it, but, man, what a great winter warmer. I mean, the flavoring is so big and expansive.
What is your access to that beer in Michigan?
Well, I believe I picked this particular one up at the brewery itself. I happened to be in Kalamazoo when there was a brewery release and just stopped by, and I believe I picked up a case of this. So this is the last remaining of the case.
Can you get it pretty regularly out of the liquor store? Is it pretty limited there?
I think it varies, right?
It varies. Yes, it varies. It, at first, there's this rush for it, so a lot of people just chase the trucks around, but not so much anymore. And a lot of these releases in Michigan from the Michigan breweries, in particular, are sort of going unnoticed, if you will. I think you guys probably have noticed that too. You know, certain releases that used to be so hard to get are very plentiful. And if you've got a local,
yeah, they don't.
Retailer,
they don't.
A lot of them just sit out at the counter, one bottle at a time. So you can walk in any place. Sometimes you can walk into a gas station; they have a bottle of it sitting on the counter. You're like, oh yeah, okay.
You know, it is a specialty beer in their list, and I don't see it on the 2019 availability calendars. So it may not be something they're going to throw at us this year, but. You know, it's not a seasonal, I guess, but if you have them, they're great, and hold on to them and drink them, you know, once in a while.
Here in Missouri, sure. It's pretty much limit one bottle per person. If you're lucky to find it at all, it's pretty hard to find it. There are probably only going to be just a couple of places around town that even get one case of it. And some places in the past have even required you to buy like a six pack, or you can do a build your six pack of Bell's beers in order to buy this one.
Oh yeah, well, we got places like that too.
The funny thing about Michigan though is you can be out in the sticks and walk into a party store and happen to see that sitting on the counter, or happen to see it sitting behind the counter, ask the guy about it, and he's like, nah, nobody buys this stuff, and you can walk out with as much of it as you want. But you know, it's just like sort of a hit or miss situation. Yeah. I know people that will get it, that I can just stop at their store, bang, I've got, you know, as much as I want, but it's how much do I want to buy of it too.
Dan, I might just add that fortunately you have friends in Michigan. So
yeah, quite a few of us.
So just all you have to do is ask.
But Bell's has been expanding their barrel program. So they've been doing some other barrel releases that maybe would have been Black Note. They did the Imperial Stout release. So maybe there's plans to just sort of do a little bit more variety in the barrel aging program and just keep it. You know, sometime we'll do this, sometimes we'll do that.
The Barrel Age Expedition, and then we also got some Barrel Age Third Coast Old Ale. But Pete and I went to the release for that. So.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a real dandy there, too.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
All right. Let's keep things moving. Thanks for that one, Doug. Let's go over to Greg.
All right, so I don't have a Bell's beer, but I do
that's
have
okay.
that, and that's fine. That's fine. So my beer is from Bend, Oregon, over there, Eric's Way there, Deschutes Brewery. This is their 29th Birthday Reserve Black Butte, which is a porter brewed with Dutch cocoa, Saigon cinnamon, and cayenne. I believe it also has turbinado sugar. 50% aged in bourbon and rum barrels, comes in at 12% ABV. IBUs are 55, and I don't think you want to know the calories on this one. So with that said, it poured into my nice glass here, dark as could be. Can't see a single way through it. Khaki head, tight, compact bubbles. Lacing is really well on the glass, considering this is almost 2 years old. This was bottled June the 12th of 2017. So, headed out for about 40 minutes now, warming up. So, let's get a smell on this. I'm getting a lot of dark chocolate, cocoa powder, as it was indicated on the ingredients. Dark fruits. I'm getting a lot of maybe some raisins or plums, something like that. Very delicious smelling. So, let's get a taste out of it here. More of the same. Maybe a little more accentuated this away from the dark fruit, but now getting a little of the cayenne, cinnamon, more of the dark chocolate. Boy, it coats the mouth fantastic. I mean, this is really, really good. Doesn't taste boozy, so obviously it's fallen off a little bit, but I mean, this is absolutely a crusher. I mean, I say that lightly, though. It's not really a crusher. But boy, this is really good stuff. It seems like they've made this a few years. Every year seems to be a different ingredient or ABV. So each bottle is unique. And boy, this is really good. I don't know if you guys have had this as well.
I have. I was there back in September of 18, a couple of months back, 6 months ago, I guess. And I bought this particular bottle of the 29th birthday, and I loved it. And, you know, the Bend, Oregon's a beautiful town in a beautiful location. And, you know, if you look at it, Black Butte is actually part of their logo. The mountains nearby Bend, Oregon, one of them is called Black Butte. And if you look at their logo for Deschutes Brewery, you'll see some mountains on their logo. And I believe Black Butte's one of them. But back to the beer. Yeah, I love that beer. It was complex. Love the hint of cayenne. And, you know, that was back at a time when I didn't care much about calories and carbs. So I'm reliving it through you now, Greg. So.
Very good.
Thanks for sharing that. Fantastic beautiful beer.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, fantastic beer. I think if we go back, like maybe the first holiday episode, we might have had that beer. And if it wasn't reviewed, it was certainly shared on that day. So outstanding beer.
Harder
I got to I gotta mention, too, just the standard Black Butte Porter, in my humble opinion, is a great, you know, representative of a perfect porter to me. You know, if I was going to brew a porter, I'd want it to taste just like Black Butte Porter.
Very good.
I agree. All right, David, you are next.
All right.
What do you got?
Well, I got a beer from my new place of work. They're out there at Witch's Hat in South Lyon. I just started working there last week, and the beer I got, it's called a Well Water. It's an American barley wine style, aged in Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels.
Ooh.
So it's, I believe my boss told me this is from the either 2016 or 2017. He wasn't sure, but it came from, cellar, and it, you know, was probably in the barrels for about 6 months. And then, you know, it's been sitting around the store since then. So now I'm going to open it up and give it a good try here. It's got the wax cap on it, and it's sealed with wax and everything. And there we go. Pouring. It's a nice caramel color. Definitely a decent amount of carbonation, but it's not a whole lot. That's kind of expected with a barley wine. Nice, pretty tight bubbles. Mm. It's got a really good, kind of almost like a vanilla smell to it. Yep, definitely got some caramel notes to it as well. Let's see if the flavor follows the nose. Oh yeah. Yeah, you can definitely pick up a little bit of vanilla character, a little bit of the oak from the barrels. You definitely get some booziness from the high alcohol. This is like an 11.5%. And then definitely from the Buffalo Trace barrels, you definitely get a nice rounded, oaky taste from that. It's kind of almost tastes like a rye whiskey. I'm not sure if it was. Yeah, does bourbon technically have rye in it, or can it? But it's really good. Really good, solid. Yeah. It's, like I said, decent carbonation.
Yeah, you know what? This is a beer that every year this comes out, and I have a friend that lives out near Witch's Hat. Shout out to Brian McClanahan, who several of us know. But he always makes it a point to make sure he gets me a bottle of this. And it's one of my favorite Witch's Hat beers, second only to the one I'll be reviewing in a little bit here. But
nice.
It's a real treat, and it's a great beer to have on the cellar raid because... And I had a couple in my cellar, and, you know, I had just moved. I had to cherry pick what I brought and leave some things go that I wish I hadn't, but I can assure you every well water in my cellar is in my possession. So,
do you know where they got the name Well Water and why they do the release every year?
I do not. Shine some light.
They had a friend named Jerry that passed away, so this is like a tribute to him. And apparently... when he was alive, his drink of choice was pouring cheap whiskey into a gallon jug and mixing it with some water, and that's what he drank. And he, called it well water. So definitely, I'm sure this tastes a whole lot better than that did. But this is a tribute to him, and apparently they're really good friends, and he lives on through this beer. And he's got his picture on the front of it. Looks like a pretty cool guy.
Sounds like my ideal well water.
Yeah.
I do remember his, that's his likeness on the label, I'm assuming, and I did not know that story, so thank you for sharing, but I will tell you that they certainly brewed a great beer to honor him with, because it's one of my all-time favorites from Witch's Hat.
Yeah, I'm really coming in. I used to not be a huge fan of barley wines, but I've had a couple good ones lately, one of them being the ones that I brewed at home, not if I do toot my own horn, but...
All right. Well, thanks for sharing, and now we're going to move to Missouri to Dan.
All right. I am drinking a beer called Cuvée Ange from Four Hands Brewing Company out of St. Louis, Missouri, about 3 hours away from me. And it is a French farmhouse ale fermented with Brettanomyces. This fruity, tart, and complex ale is aged in wine barrels with raspberries and blackberries. Cuvée Ange pours a beautiful light amber with notes of oak, berry, and funk. And it's in a 500 milliliter bottle. This is a 2015 vintage, and it is only 5.5%. So, it's kind of a, like, not quite copper. It's a light kind of reddish brown color, and almost see through it. Had a nice, lightly fizzy head, white. Very little lacing. The
Stay
aroma
close.
Definitely... what's that?
Stay close to your mic there, Dan.
The aroma is definitely raspberries. It smells sweet, but I don't get a whole lot of oak. Just a little. Let me give it a taste here. It's just sweet at the very first on the tip of the tongue, but then it's really light and dry like that. I don't know if it's because of the age. Feels like maybe the Brett character has really dried it out and shines through. It just lingers on the back of your tongue. It's a lot. It's not really funky. It seems like I thought it was going to be a lot sweeter than it is, and then it's just really kind of dry and makes your mouth kind of pucker, but in the Brett sort of way, not in like a wild ale, really, really sour kind of way. It's different. Then kind of finishes with the oak kind of tannic flavor. It's enjoyable. I think maybe fresh it would have been better. This kind of goes to some of the things we've talked about with our sellers before, that sometimes you get a beer that was maybe a miss for the seller. Maybe it would have been better just drink it fresh or with just a little bit of age on it. And I think that's maybe where this beer falls. It's still enjoyable. I still like it, but I feel like I remember it being a lot better and more fruity when it was fresh. So I wonder, I'm not the home brewer you guys are, but I don't know what your knowledge is on Brettanomyces, but does that seem kind of like it might have been dried out from the Brett?
Possibly. I'm not, I haven't brewed with it myself, and I know it's something you want to keep separate from everything else. Otherwise, everything is going to get it. But I do like a certain number of beers that have Brett in it. And I don't know about the dryness. I'd have to revisit. Usually I get a more of a juicy sour out of it.
Right.
I can see how it can make it drier because it's another type of yeast that you're kind of doing after, so it kind of has maybe another chance to, do a little bit longer, especially if it's being aged a little bit longer, it has a chance to kind of ferment out of some sugars that maybe would have stayed in there.
Right.
Yeah, because this is 3.5 years old now, so.
But yeah, if it was the brewer's intent to make a dry beer to begin with, then that's what you're going to end up with after a bunch of time. So it could be that was the original thing, which is now called a brute beer. But, something like that can dry out everything in there, and that's what you end up with.
All right. Thanks for sharing that, Dan. And before I move to my beer, I want to thank Dan for sharing other beers. What was the beer with the cat on the label that we had the other night, Dan?
That was Our Queen from American Solera.
That was fantastic. So, go ahead, Dan. You can describe that beer better than I can.
What style?
Yeah, it's a barrel-aged stout, and American Solera, kind of like the Prairie Stouts before them, they have that really great, huge, thick, viscous mouthfeel, and then it's aged in bitter barrels. And vanilla extract barrels and bourbon barrels, and they're all blended together.
It was almost like an old fashioned a little bit, but with that thick viscous. It was a fantastic beer, and I appreciate you sharing with me. And it was just really cool to, we just coincidentally spent the night in Springfield, Missouri after 720 miles of our first leg of our trip to Arizona. And, As the star of the line, as Dan was off work this week and was able to come over and share a couple of great brews. And not only just talk about brew, but some other stuff too. So just great to, you know, meet up with you in person, Dan, instead of just over the interweb. So that was a good night, and I hope it's not the last time our paths cross. And, you know, who knows, maybe we can one of us will hit the lottery and we can all go to the Great American Beer Festival next year or something. All of us
yeah.
Beer nuts.
My thoughts really, exactly, really JR. It was definitely a great time to hang out and enjoy some good beer and life together.
Amen. So that being said, speaking of thick, viscous, flavorful stouts, I am going to introduce my beer, which going back to the same brewery that David had the well water with, is Witch's Hat Brewing in South Lyon, Michigan. So this is my first day in Arizona, but I didn't want to forget my all of the great beers I discovered in my time, 7 to 8 years in Michigan. And this is one of my all-time favorites. It's the Night Fury Vanilla Bean variant. It's a bourbon barrel Night Fury with vanilla bean, Imperial Stout aged in bourbon barrels with whole vanilla beans added. Night Fury is black as night and more intense than a dragon attack. Prepare your palate for the fury that's about to be unleashed on the bottle, of course. So this is a night. This is a 2016 Bomber 22-ounce bottle with a nice yellow to gold wax on it. With all these beer nuts on the show tonight, I'm about halfway through it. good. It's 13.5% alcohol, and it's just a real, real treat. I love what the Witch's Hat, let me pull this up, I love what they say about it, because it's what I feel that. It says, our Night Fury Imperial Stout, aged on Madagascar vanilla beans and Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels. Our standard barrel age offering that returns is a crowd favorite. Other flavors may come and go, but vanilla bean Night Fury has stood the test of time. Because they have kind of tinkered with their Night Fury variants, but this has always been a staple, and it's always been really the two beers from Witch's Hat that I have to have are this and well water. So pretty awesome that, that David had that on as well. And don't get me wrong, some of the other variants are really good. I know a lot of people rave about the Trax variant, but that's got peanut butter in, which eliminates it from my world. But it must be a great beer because many people covet it. So
we just put some of that in the bright tank, and I got to taste a little bit of that. And yeah, you should probably put it back in your wheelhouse because it was really, really, really good.
That's amazing. With that.
Cocoa beans, the peanut butter, and coconut, roasted coconut in it. So
oh my gosh, oh.
It's really good.
Yeah, you know, come to Papa.
I usually close minded with peanut butter beer, but I do like coconut. So maybe if somebody's kind enough to snag me one of those, I know it's kind of tough to get. But that being said, I'm going to give you a little bit of tasting notes on this vanilla bean Night Fury. You know, it's 2016, so it's been aged a few years. You know, pours, coal black. I mean, can't see through it, and that's how it should be. The mouthfeel on this thing is, it is up there with a beer you can chew, which is a good thing for me. I poured this thing probably, you know, at the beginning of the show, and there is still a really nice frothy head on it. And I was going to say, I know he's used to say cola. This is like dark brown head. I mean, if you look at it, you can just tell this is going to be good. So on the aroma, I actually get pretty good bourbon on the aroma, but having drank it for the last 20 to 30 minutes, I don't taste the bourbon as much, but there's still lots of vanilla in this, which after 3 years is rare. A lot of times vanilla fades, but you know, they do put a generous amount of vanilla bean in this, as they should. So I'm going to just take a sip and try to describe it. Yeah, I get a lot of vanilla, bittersweet chocolate. It's kind of bitter, but a little sweetness in the back end from the bourbon. I get some oak presence from this. What I like about it is it starts with the vanilla bean vanilla and it ends with the oak vanilla. So you get like almost multiple vanilla flavors from this. So it's been a favorite. I'm drinking a 22-ounce bottle, which fortunately my brother-in-law, who I'm staying with here in Sierra Vista, shared some of this with me, so I'm not going to take the whole bomber down myself. But at 13.5%, it's a good bottle to share. But now I believe they're all bottled in 12-ounce bottles, which is a good thing. That's, I think, what the craft beer world is gravitating to, is smaller size format. But, again, one of my all-time favorites from Wichita. And if anybody has a chance to procure one of these, or if anybody wants to reach out to a Michigan distributor or even one of us that has access, it's a fantastic beer. And one that when I had all these, I think I counted about 15 boxes that made the cut to come to Arizona. And I went through pretty good. And the only thing I wanted to do is make sure I had a Michigan beer. Because, when I moved to Michigan, I worked for a big mainstream imported beer company. And when I left Michigan, I was a craft beer, a craft beer aficionado, whatever you want to call it. And, Michigan, I owe that to you, all the great craft beers, from day one, I wasn't drinking any mass-produced anything. And I wanted to make, this is my tribute to Michigan, is this delicious vanilla bean Night Fury. It's a great job, which has had. Anybody else want to comment on this beer?
Sounds good.
Vanilla just makes everything really nice.
So I guess you could say vanilla is the bacon of the beer world.
I've in my week there, I've seen some of the proprietary secrets of how they do it, but I'm not able to divulge that at the moment.
Let's get them drunk, guys.
Well, that well water will get him there, I can tell you that. But I'm hopeful that some of you Michigan buddies can store me some of this, because this and well water is my only ask from the brewery. Although, now with David, you're kind of making me crave a Trax, so I know that's in high trade demand, but
I still got, I'm just starting there, but hopefully I'll be there for a while.
Not asking for any employee favors or anything, but great beers, and I'm glad you're with them. That's a great place to land, so congratulations there, David.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really enjoying my time there so far. Like, great, great people, great brewery, a lot of fun working there.
Yeah, congrats. We'll look for you when we come up there to visit.
Absolutely.
Amen.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
All right, well, we got two West Coasters that are like probably dying of thirst, or either that or already on their second or third glass. But let's turn it over to Steve V in L.A.
Hey, everybody. I opened up mine. I have a 750, so I'm already more than halfway through mine. So my beer is the Lost Abbey Eternal Ale. It's made down in San Marcos, which is a little bit south of L.A., going towards San Diego. It is described as a pepper, a little fresh apples, and some faint clove notes. Since I've been drinking it this whole episode, it is really yeasty and really carbonated. So it kind of bites, when you take those first sips of it. But it's very tasty. It's very, like I says, it just kind of, lets you know, like, hey, I'm drinking some beer. And that's always a good feeling. As I've been tasting it, as I've been going down, you do taste that pepper. You feel the sensation of the pepper as you keep drinking it. And, like I says, the apples and the clove notes, they're all very nice. Nothing, very, very good combination of spice and fruit flavor coming out of this beer. I like it.
Did I hear you say what kind of pepper they put in there?
It doesn't say. It just says little hints of pepper in it, but you do taste it, and it kind of lingers, lingers on your palate as you keep drinking it. It's a Belgian strong pale ale, and it's 8.5%. So it's like this, it's one of those beers you can just kind of sit and drink all night.
Well, all I can say is
have a year on. How old is it?
This one I've had in my refrigerator for a couple years, but I think it's still something you can get from them. It's one of the ones that they make all the time. But like I said, this one I've had for a while, and I've been waiting to open it, and figured this would be a good time to open it up.
Awesome.
Well, all I can say is Pete and probably Doug and most of the beer nuts know anything with hot peppers or spice in it is up my alley, so I'll be seeking this one out. So
We see some Lost Abbeys here, but I haven't seen this particular version of it. So I'll be looking for this one, too.
Maybe now that I'm further west, we'll see more of a variety of these. Or certainly when I go to Southern California for a visit, look, seek this one out. It sounds like a great beer, and certainly sounds like a beer I would really enjoy personally.
Yeah, and I have one of their other beers I got at the same time, a Judgment Ale, and that's been sitting in there, and that's a another one. I was going to open that one up, but I said, I'm going to go with this little Belgium Ale. But that'll be another one, maybe if we go back to it. But, you know, this is more that. The other one is more of a dark beer, so and a little heavier. It's an Abbey Quadruple Ale, and that one's heavier. That's also a 10.2%, so.
Nice, yeah. I remember living in Michigan, we didn't get a whole lot of variety from Lost Abbey, but we were happy to get some pretty good stuff. I remember there was one that was The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Yep.
The Discount Drinks had. That was a pretty good one. But, I can't ever remember having a beer that was subpar from that brewery, you know, Lost Abbey. Definitely, you're in a beer store, you see some Lost Abbey stuff, check it out and pick out a good one. You'll never be disappointed. That's been my experience. All right. Well, thanks, Steve V, for that. And we're going to wrap it up in the Pacific Northwest with Eric. Man, the eighth beer nut of the night.
Hello, Eric. Uh-oh. Anybody here?
Chris, when you edit, please put Jeopardy music in.
Yeah.
What's the record for the most beer nuts we've had on a podcast before?
Probably this.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't think we've had this many before. This is great.
All it took was JR moving to air, getting out of Michigan.
Well, you know, yesterday driving through New Mexico was like, it was a real experience, man. We ran into like a whiteout snowstorm for about 20 minutes. Then it cleared up and we made it to Albuquerque fine. Then we're going south. Then like we got a hail and ice storm. There was lightning and thunder. It was like 32 degrees. The whole road was covered with ice pellets, and we got through that somehow. I had to slow down to about 40 on the interstate, just about to pull off when we got through that. Then we ran into a dust storm in Hatch, where I got some Hatch chili salsa and a great burrito. But thanks for the tip, Dugout, on the green chili. I got that burrito, and that was one of the best burritos I've ever had in my life.
And then Jack rode in the other car the rest of the way, right?
No, I was fine. I was fine.
You were fine, but, yeah.
No. Honestly, it didn't affect me adversely in any way. So.
No, they're delicious. The Hatch chilies, man. Those are.
Oh, I know.
They're just such a delicacy.
All right, let's see.
Eric, are you talking right into your mic? How's it going there, buddy?
He just wrote, "This is killing me." I don't know what. Technical.
Like he can hear us again, but he is just like, for some reason it's not going through. We can't hear him.
Well, I don't know what to say or do. I guess we'll give him a minute or two.
Eric, type out your thoughts and we'll read them out.
Yeah,
I will be going to Tombstone, Arizona tomorrow to visit the Tombstone Brewery. So they had Tombstone Arizona Beer Week was last week. I missed it by a week, so. But they made two really good stouts. One was a rum barrel, one a bourbon barrel stout. And they had a triple IPA and a double IPA that they rolled out for this last week. So I'm going to go see what's left. I don't really need any more dark beers in my cellar because I'm trying to drink down all the stuff I brought. But I'm going to get some of those good fresh hops because they're known for that. So, and, of course, it's always good to see the OK Corral.
And the shootout reenactment.
And the Crystal Palace Saloon, I believe it is.
And if you go a little further down to Bisbee, there's a little brewery in Bisbee right along close to the Mexican border.
Old Bisbee Brewing Company. My brother-in-law told me about that. So
been there. Yep, I've been in there. Nice little town to walk around.
There's another brewery that opened near here called Copper Brothel Brewing Company.
Oh boy!
Well, what's the chances that that actually worked? Me getting off and getting back on.
Is that Eric?
Hey, you're good.
Can you hear me?
There you go, buddy.
I do not understand how I can listen for an hour and then when it's my turn to talk, it doesn't work again. But
oh, that's painful. Technology. That's painful. Ouch.
Stay nice and close to your mic.
I have not moved. I am standing here on my phone the whole time, and both times when it's my turn, nothing.
Eric's first well, next time.
Yes.
So while it's working, let's get a review in. Go for it.
Have you tried turning it on and turning it off again?
That was what finally worked. And now I'm going to try to drink the rest of this brain damage from Gigantic. Which
what a great name.
And if you guys saw the picture I sent you, it is a skull with eyeballs and tongue and all kinds of body parts hanging out of it. Belgian-style quad. It's Gigantic always has awesome art on their bottles, so if you guys ever see some of this stuff, you can pretty much only get it in the Portland area, but this is one that you had to actually go to the brewery for. Found it randomly, and at 13% on a Belgian quad that's now 3.5 years old, it looks like, according to Untappd. They aged it in Pinot barrel and bourbon barrels for 2 years. So even though it's been in the bottle for 3 years, it's probably like a 5-year-old beer. I tried real hard not to pound this thing while I was waiting for you guys all to finish, so I'm only about halfway through. But at 13% and 3.5 years old, it poured with pretty much no head 45 minutes ago or whenever that was. And it doesn't even matter. I don't care that it doesn't have any head.
Right.
It can be served still, and it'd probably be as awesome as it is right now. I have a few friends. I think they're going to be mad at me that I opened this, because I realized after I'd opened it that I think they were supposed to share it with me, but too bad.
looks like you got plenty more in your cellar to share with your friends.
Yeah, I have a problem just like the rest of you guys, buying more than I need, so trying to work on
you're
that.
You're in a good support group here, buddy.
Yeah. But this like they have another beer called Massive, which is their barley wine. So it's not the same style of beer, but they're both, you can't see through them. They don't pour really thick like some of the dark, thick ones, but they're just so amazing that when you come up, John, or whoever else makes it to the Northwest, we will have to go to Gigantic, because it's been 4 or 5 years since I've been there. So I think I actually
picked this up. Well, if you drink, what was that one called?
I think I actually picked this up somewhere else besides the brewery, even though it was only brewery only, but I think it was just because they got one box of it, so.
If you drank them both, you'd have massive brain damage.
I bet you they have a mix of that, but you'd only be able to get it on tap, because at 13%, and I think Massive or barrel-aged Massive is at least 11 or 12%, you'd probably have to get a Uber home or whatever.
Yeah, rocket fuel, yeah.
Not to mention they're both super sweet, and this one being in Pinot barrels and already being a sweet cherry vanilla Belgian quad, I kind of feel like I need to brush my teeth when I finish this before I have it. But in a good way, I guess, in a good way. Like I'd love to be at a brew fest that was just quads. I've done sour fests, and I've done stout fests, and I've done brew fests. But I think I'm going to have to search out a Belgian quad fest.
A quad fest, yeah.
This beer is going to be a 5 on Untappd. So.
Quadrifestia.
Quadrifestia sounds like a good name.
We just looking at the picture online, and then Uncle Pete seeing your picture from Facebook, it looks like you guys, you know, there's a little bit of resemblance there.
The brain damage picture? Yeah.
Wait a minute. I look like the guy from Fathead, man. I thought I was the Fathead guy.
Stole your image again.
Again, I know, man. I need to get some royalties, man.
What problems do you have as a beer model, Pete?
I know.
Well, Eric, it will be my goal to visit you. My mom lives in Oregon, so I have an excuse to come visit you and her. And Steve V, I should be able to get out to SoCal this summer to visit Big Z, our friend Z. So, yeah, my goal is to meet every beer nut in person. So I think that's very achievable this year. So especially now that I'm a little further west. But Well, thanks for that beer, Brain Damage, Eric. I think we had some stellar beers tonight, and that's what it's all about. I don't know if anybody has any hipster sister comments. We probably don't need any with eight guys and coast to coast, man. This was an awesome episode with eight beer nuts from, I guess we didn't have the true East Coast covered. Too bad Ross wasn't here. That would have given us pretty much coast to coast, but pretty good show here. So great brews. Anybody have any final comments before we go to Mexico City?
You can follow me. I think it was fun. Dan Geis, G-E-I-S-Z, and Instagram as well. And Beer Nuts, Michigan Beer Guy on Instagram, Twitter, right, JR?
Well, yeah, it's good that you brought that up because I'm transitioning. Michigan Beer Guy is going to go to Uncle Pete since he's still in Michigan, and I've already reserved Arizona Beer Guy. So we're going to expand a little bit and, you know, change. I think Pete is more worthy than I anyway as a Michigan Beer Guy, as a lifelong Michigan.
I'll make sure to put a current picture of myself up there so you guys recognize me instead of if I'm a beer label.
Do we have another win this glass promotion in the future then? Is that what you're saying?
I guess we'll have to talk to Chris on that. We've only been asking him for 2 years.
Yeah.
So at the end, I'm sure he'll be like, oh, man, I can't believe. So, yeah, that is in the works, hopefully. That's been in the works for 2 years. I'll believe it when I see it. But, hey, come on, Chris. Look a brother up here, man. We have listeners that want glasses. So thanks, everybody, for listening.
Hey, my Beer Nuts dogs just got a little taste of the well water, and they both sneezed. they liked it.
Well, you know, some people say, oh, that's cruel to give alcohol to pets. I think it's cruel to withhold alcohol from pets.
I agree.
That's the drinking age.
My dog's names are Brewer and Barley. Like, if I didn't give them beer, that would be cruel.
That's right.
I agree. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening, and please tune in to our next episode. We're going to do pastry stouts. And
yes,
I'll leave it to Chris to dub in the ChristopherMedia.net. You can catch us on Spotify now. That's exciting stuff. On iTunes, and as they say in old Mexico City, hey,
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for listening, and thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.